Joining us now here at Fenway Park, Ludmila Svoboda. Boy, I'm having a hard time today. Program nurse, cancer care equity program at Dana-Farber. That sounds like a fancy title. But there are going to be those who are going to say, what exactly does that mean?
Well, would you like to know?
Of course.
Yes, I would.
All right. So I work with the Cancer Care Equity Program, and we work in historically marginalized communities around Boston and around Dana-Farber and help patients that wouldn't know how to access our center, find pathways to care. So with very vulnerable patient populations that may not speak English, that may have a high level of poverty, that may not understand the healthcare system. So that's what we do with the Cancer Care Equity Program.
And you were telling us off the air, you were originally going to have a patient here with you today.
Yes.
That's not the case. Tell us what happened.
She's a very young patient. She's in her 20s and has a metastatic breast cancer. And I've been in touch with her every day. And all of a sudden, she fell quiet. And I said, okay, what's going on? You know, we have this event on Wednesday. And she actually, it's her birthday. And we don't know how many birthdays she has left. And she left the state to celebrate. And, you know, and I said, live your life, right?
Of course.
Live your days and don't. You know, don't worry about this because you need to celebrate and feel well and celebrate while you feel well.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
So how do you go about coordinating things for patients? Like kind of where does it begin and then where do you sort of get involved in helping them get to where they not only need to be but get the care that they need as well?
Yeah, it's a great question and it starts in the communities. So we have community clinics, outreach clinics in Dorchester, in Roxbury, and then we meet the patients connected to their primary care and then really follow them every step of the way. And we do daily communication. We text, we call. Patients can reach me off hours, our team as well. And then we connect them to diagnostic services or to cancer services as needed. And, yeah.
And now, the early diagnosis, we keep hearing about it all the time.
Yeah.
Just how crucial that is.
Yeah.
And that's also something that I know you speak to try to educate people on.
Yeah, yeah. It's huge, right? Screening. And in particular, as people have not had screening in the last few years because of COVID, right? So we really need to re-educate primary care providers and the patients that you can, it's from a stage one cancer, in a year, a cancer can progress to stage two, three, or beyond. So screening is life-saving.
I know that you do a lot of educational events. Kind of tell us about those a little bit, where you have done some of them, maybe some that are upcoming that you have.
So we are doing a big conference in, with the Nursing and Patient Care Services Department at Dana-Farber. But community-based events we really haven't done due to COVID, but
right.
In the past, we've been at health fairs on the weekends. I've done events at churches on a Sunday morning or have gone to housing developments in the evening. So it's really where the community needs us. We're very flexible as a team. So really,
do people reach out to you? Do you lead the outreach? You know, are there things that people who might be listening right now out there that they might be able to do to either contact you to get involved if there is a vulnerable segment of society that they work with that they could coordinate with you?
Yeah, what they really can do is donate, right?
Of course.
Yes, we are asking that today, for sure.
But it's a really good question. So they can really reach out to our community benefits department, Magnolia Contreras. I just saw her in milling about. She's here. And, you know, the Cancer Care Equity Program, we can be found online on the Dana-Farber website.
Sure.
And how important is it to it seems like talking with the doctors and the nurses is you're sort of treating the whole family in a way. Right, because yes, the patient is going to get all the attention, but everybody else is kind of going through that as well.
Yeah.
Whether it's a young kid, whether it's a mom, a dad, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I mean, excellent point. I communicate with the family. They right now. I have a patient. She's new, and I'm texting with her daughter every day because the patient doesn't speak English and she has high levels of anxiety. And so it really depends what the patient wants, but. we understand this is a new diagnosis. It's like learning a new language, right? It's all these terms that people don't understand necessarily. And I see myself as a translator, as a sort of a guide, right, to help folks in understanding the diagnosis and every step of the treatment.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was going to ask, do you have people that work with you on your staff that are trans? You have to have, I'm sure, bilingual like crazy, right?
Yeah. I speak 5 languages only, so...
Only 5
languages. I don't even know if I can name 5 languages.
I was just going to say. So what languages do you speak?
Czech. I'm from the Czech Republic originally.
Are you excited? Are you a hockey fan? I don't know.
I'm sorry, my fellow... I'm not.
You're not. That's
sorry,
okay.
Sorry.
Well, there's going to be a big Czech line with the Bruins this year.
Okay,
so you'll be able to represent it.
my
grandfather was born in Prague, by the way.
No, that's where I'm from.
Oh, there we go.
Oh,
so,
see, it was meant to be.
But you don't speak the
language, I don't speak
though.
Czech, though, no. So Czech. I don't pick them up either.
Czech, I've noticed English so far. A good laugh,
English, Greg. That was very funny.
Thank you.
It's pun heavy when it turns to Czech.
Of course it does.
So Czech, English.
German. We lived in Germany for 8 years. And then French. I was a nanny in France for 2 years. And then Spanish.
Wait a minute. It sounds like you've lived some kind of life.
Yeah.
You were a nanny in France for 2 years?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. How did your background, though, lead you to this job within Dana-Farber?
It's very personal. So I actually was diagnosed with cancer when I was, I was 21, I believe. And I had never wanted to be a nurse. I don't necessarily come from a family of nurses. And I had been studying something completely different. And truly, the nurses that... gave me care when my family was gone, when it was quiet, when it was dark, when I was scared. They changed my life, and I said, I want to do that. And I started slowly as I got better. I started at a community college and then got my bachelor's and then my master's and da-da-da. And I couldn't have made a better choice because it's the best. It's the best to be able to do this work.
How long have you been here with
Dana-Farber? At Dana-Farber, it's the longest job I've had, and I always say to my my team, like, you're going to have to wheel me out of here when it's time to retire, you know, like, with my walker.
So how long has it been?
13 years.
Wow.
Yep.
So you can really see firsthand sort of the advancements.
Yeah.
So in your first year, it was at point one for you, and then now with all days like today and all the advancements, everything. Yeah.
Yeah, really, like in terms of the kind of treatments, right? We now have personalized cancer medicine. We have targeted therapies. You know, we're moving away from traditional chemotherapy and the emphasis, like you said, on screening and really being committed to the community to keep our community healthy.
Do you think now that we're kind of coming out of COVID, a lot of the nurses and doctors and people that we've talked to have said, boy, we had to pivot quick, and now the pivot is kind of coming back to where it was pre-pandemic. Do you see 2023 in terms of, you mentioned some of the events that you couldn't do. Will 2023 kind of get back to normal in terms of your outreach and hopefully educating people on cancer screenings and some of what's available through through you?
I hope so. I see it that way. I feel it. I feel hopeful. Right?
We're all trying to live. We're getting back to normal,
like it's
right?
Gonna,
and then here comes, variant number 9.
Yeah, and
or
then
whatever,
you say Ludmila jinxed it all, and she told us it was all.
There is that, but we've been jinxes before.
You know, even 2 years ago, because we were talking to some patients that if they were diagnosed in 2020, I mean, they were going in by themselves.
Awful.
And at least now that's at least lightened up a little bit.
Yeah, I volunteered for a while when in the middle of the pandemic to do screening, and it was heartbreaking to see patients that couldn't bring their loved one in for their consult or for their follow-up visit. And
especially when there's a language barrier potentially.
Yes. Yeah, language.
That adds a whole other layer of complexity
exactly.
to it all. You mentioned you were diagnosed at 21, correct?
Yes.
So have you been in remission since? Or
Yeah.
Are you a patient kind of like with checks like
I mean it's been just a couple of years since my diagnosis. Just kidding.
I was just gonna say, well done, good to get that in there. That's right. But I wondered because, again, you went through it personally, and then to be able to kind of transfer some of that knowledge and even firsthand experience. That's another thing I think we've picked up on, too, is when there are those around who have a firsthand experience, who have the ability to talk to a patient a certain way, not only does it, I think, I've been through this, I can kind of help you, but also, again, with language barriers and things like that, it's really necessary.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And even though it's different, right, it's, but you know the fear. I know the fear that my parents had, that my family had. I know, you know, the consequences of a diagnosis and of treatment, the side effects, how to navigate a system that's very complex. And I will always remember that and carry that forward. So,
well, thank you for really educating us as well on this and among the many great services at Dana-Farber. Ludmila Svoboda, program nurse, cancer care equity program at Dana-Farber. Yeah. Thanks for the time. Good
thank
to always
you.
Meet another check. There we go. And by the way, we need your check today at 877-738-1234. You knew that was getting
I knew.
In there.
I mean,
of course.
Too easy.
Teeing it up. You can also text K-Cancer to 20222 to give $25.